Next on the Old Mole, more on Trumpism. Will more of the same, done more intensely, will it solve this country's problems? Tom Becker is doing a well-read read.
Thank you, Bill. Today I'm reading excerpts from a much longer article entitled "The Crisis of Neoliberalism Won't Be Solved by More Neoliberalism" by Pete Dolak. We're in a world of trouble if we are unable to conceive of alternative economic models. We need not linger on the details of rising inequality, political instability, tightening corporate control of governments, looming environmental crisis, increasingly precarious employment, if even available, and the inability to meet the basic needs of billions of people around the world to see that capitalism is failing humanity. Neoliberalism is not a virus foisted on the world by some secret cabal. Is merely the latest phase of capitalism, one that, from the standpoint of capitalists, is a logical outgrowth of the breakdown of the mid-20th century Keynesianism. We're not going back to Keynesianism because that was a brief period dependent on an industrial base and market expansion. A repeat of history isn't possible because the industrial base of the advanced capitalist countries has been hollowed out, transferred to low-wage development countries, and there is almost no place remaining in which the capitalist system can expand. So when I saw a paper entitled Industrial Policy in the 21st Century, Merits, Demerits, and How We Can Make It Work in the latest issue of Real World Economic Review, I was intrigued. The disappointing prescriptions offered in the paper, however, might at best be described as neoliberal light. The author of Industrial Policy in the 21st Century, Mohammad Moiz Jael, is well-intentioned, but advocates the same export-oriented policies that have led to sweatshops and dangerous working conditions across the developing world. It also implies endless growth, a dangerous illusion. More of the same hardly seems like a likely escape. And that is before we contemplate the mathematical impossibility of every country exporting its way out of economic difficulty. For every country that achieves a trade surplus, some other country has to have a trade deficit. Minky Lee, in his book The Rise of China and the Demise of the Capitalist World Economy, argues that the huge mass of low-wage Chinese workers will drag down wage levels globally. The increase of industrialization in developing countries will lead to exhaustion of energy resources, and that ecological limits will force a halt to growth, fatal to a system dependent on growth. Professor Lee argues that an upward convergence of wages around the world in present-day low-wage havens would significantly reduce capitalist profits. In this scenario, capitalists seek to cut wages in core countries to make up the difference, which in turn would trigger reductions in demand. Reduced demand would spell trouble for any export-oriented economy, especially ultra-low wages suppress domestic consumption. Finally, all this imagined explosion of industry is predicated on endless growth. We live on a finite planet, and this infinite growth is impossible. Consumption is already growing beyond Earth's carrying capacity, and the anthropogenic changes to the atmosphere have us dangerously close to the point of no return in terms of climate warming. Ramping up over ever more production, even assuming that markets could be found for it, cannot be a long-term solution for poverty. Managers of corporations are answerable to private owners and shareholders, not to society, and thus do all they can to externalize environmental and other costs onto society. Finally, the belief that industrial policy will create prosperity is predicated on developing countries having the independence to implement protectionist measures. Mr. Jalil argues that the poorest countries have temporary reprieves from World Trade Organization rules until the end of the decade, but that they have room for maneuver is questionable at best. Not only WTO rules, but the bilateral and multilateral free trade agreements render such protections illegal. In a world where free trade agreements strongly constrict the ability of governments to enact laws and regulations, and which grant multinational corporations the right to sue to eliminate any law they don't like, in essence a requirement that corporate profits trump any labor, safety, environmental, or health measure, the road to becoming a net exporter will begin and end with sweatshops for most countries. Low wages and a lack of enforceable regulations are precisely why multinational capital is invested in developing countries like Bangladesh. The global free trade regime is nothing more than a mechanism for the most powerful industrials and financiers of the global north to accelerate a race to the bottom and increase their exploitation to the maximum humanly possible. That developing countries can win at this, or that the advanced capitalist countries will allow more competitors to arise, is fantasy, a neoliberal fantasy. Mr. Jowell concludes that a call for private sector funding able to respond to diversity and dynamism inherent in markets. Huh? Markets in the capitalist world are nothing more than the aggregate interests of the largest industrials and financiers. Allowing markets to make ever wider range of social decisions is what has led the world to its impasse and even harsher austerity for working people. Neoliberal capitalism may teach that people exist to serve markets, but we don't have to accept that. The belief that private funding, which after all is done to extract profit regardless of social and environmental cost, will make us live happily ever after should be left to the realm of fairy tales. As the saying goes, insanity is believing that doing the same thing over and over again will produce different results. I've been reading from an article entitled The Crisis of Neoliberalism Won't Be Solved by More Neoliberalism by Pete Dolak. The complete article can be found on the Counterpunch webpage on dated November 18th. Pete Dolak writes the Systemic Disorder blog, has been an activist with several groups. His book, It's Not Over, Learning from the Socialist Experiment, is available from Zero Books.